Ravens don't do that. Oh, so it's typecasting now, is it? Said the raven. I'm missing meals here, you do know that. It swivelled its independently sprung eyes. So, where's all the lights, it said. Where's all the noise? Where's all the jolly little buggers in pointy hats and red and green suits hitting wooden toys unconvincingly yet rhythmically with hammers? This is more like the temple of some old thunder god, said Susan. Squeak! No, I read the map right. Anyway, Albert's been here too. There's fag ash all over the place. The rat jumped down and walked around for a moment, bony snout near the ground. After a few moments of snuffling, it gave a squeak and hurried off into the gloom. Susan followed. As her eyes grew more accustomed to the faint blue-green light, she made out something rising out of the floor. It was a pyramid of steps, with a big chair on top. Behind her, a pillar groaned and twisted slightly.
Squeak!
That rat says this place reminds him of some old mine, said the raven. You know, after it's been deserted and no one's been paying any attention to the roof supports and so on. We see a lot of them. At least these steps were human-sized, Susan thought, ignoring the chatter. Snow had come in through another gap in the roof. Albert's footprints had stamped around quite a lot here. Maybe the old hog father crashed his sleigh, the raven suggested. Squeak? Well, it could have happened. Pigs are not notably aerodynamic, are they? And with all this snow, you know, poor visibility, big cloud ahead turns out too late to be a mountain. There's buggers in saffron robes looking down at you. Poor devil tries to remember whether you're supposed to shove someone's head between your legs, then wham! And it's all over, bar some lucky mountaineers making an awful lot of sausages and finding the flight recorder.
Squeak!
Yes, but he's an old man. Probably shouldn't be in the sky at his time of life. Susan pulled at something half buried in the snow. It was a red and white striped candy cane. She kicked the snow aside elsewhere and found a wooden toy soldier in the kind of uniform that would only be inconspicuous if you wore it in a nightclub for chameleons on hard drugs. Some further probing found a broken trumpet. There was some more groaning in the darkness. The raven cleared its throat.
Ugh! What the rat meant about this place being like a mine, he said, was that abandoned mines tend to creak and groan in the same way, see? No one looking after the pit props. Things fall in. Next thing you know, you're a squiggle in the sandstone. We shouldn't hang around, is what I'm saying.
Susan walked further in, lost in thought. This was all wrong. The place looked as though it had been deserted for years, which couldn't be true. The column nearest her creaked and twisted slightly. A fine haze of ice crystals dropped from the roof. Of course, this wasn't exactly a normal place. You couldn't build an ice palace this big. It was a bit like Death's house. If he abandoned it for too long, all those things that had been suspended, like time and physics, would roll over it. It would be like a dam bursting. She turned to leave and heard the groan again. It wasn't dissimilar to the tortured sounds being made by the ice, except that ice, afterwards, didn't moan, "Oh, me!" There was a figure lying in a snowdrift. She'd almost missed it because it was wearing a long white robe. It was spread-eagled as though it had planned to make snow angels and had then decided against it. And it wore a little crown, apparently of vine leaves. And it kept groaning. She looked up. The roof was open here, too. But no one could have fallen that far and survived. No one human, anyway. He looked human, and in theory quite young. But it was only in theory, because even by the second-hand light of the glowing snow, his face looked like someone had been sick with it. "Are you all right?" she ventured. The recumbent figure opened its eyes and stared straight up.
I wish I was dead,"
it moaned. A piece of ice the size of a house fell down in the far depths of the building and exploded in a shower of sharp little shards. "You may have come to the right place," said Susan. She grabbed the boy under his arms and hauled him out of the snow. I think leaving would be a very good idea around now, don't you? This place is going to fall apart.
Oh, me.
She managed to get one of his arms around her neck. Can you walk?
Oh, me.
It might help if you stopped saying that and tried walking.
I'm sorry, but I seem to have too many legs. Ow.
Susan did her best to prop him up as, swaying and slipping, they made their way back to the exit.
"My head," said the boy. "My head."